Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, White Sox fans. Lucky enough to be hosting Sox Pop. Podcast 174. I'm your host, Brett Palantini. And I have to say it, because I'm lousy every year, but for the theme of this podcast, returning champion. Sorry, that should make all of you out there feel really bad. And the four of you who did make picks, I believe all of you made picks last year. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to rub it in, but, you know, this is me. You got to do better than me this year. I'm not good at this. Anyhow, we are, I don't know how many years running, maybe forever, but certainly 3, 4, 5 years running. We have predicted the season. We did it last year. Somehow I got the most right. I don't remember who got the most wrong. We won't call them out now, although we will perhaps poke fun at a few picks being made for 2024, because that is the theme of this podcast. We're predicting the season beyond just the White Sox, although, of course, there's always very high concentration on White Sox content, and it's probably going to come with frowns and not smiles. There have been years we've picked the White Sox. All of us have picked the White Sox to go to the playoffs. The year before that, everybody picked the White Sox to go to the playoffs except me. So, again, see, I'm not good at this because I was the only one who was wrong. Go figure. I think it's safe to say, the spoiler alert, we're going to probably concentrate on the Sox in the second half here, but I don't think anybody, I got to check the latest picks. I don't know how many are coming in, but I don't think anybody's picked the White Sox to go to the playoffs this year. But, you know, we'll see when we get to that. Welcome in to the podcast. Can't say returning champion, but it is Melissa Sage, Bolenbach, Crystal O'Keefe in the middle of approximately 6 dozen podcasts as we reach opening day. So extra applause for her, Harumps, and pats on the back. Dante Jones, fresh and ready to go. And it's Hannah LaMotta. Wonderful to see her, as always. She's going to start making a habit of this. So get used to it, people. Get used to it. Get used to some smart takes. We are going to start with predictions for, I guess, just we'll just go down the list. I think that's what we do each time. Predicting, you know, each division winner. Let's start in the AL. Let me run down what our consensus is. It seems like most people, some of these picks are, I mean, there's some consensus and some are really up in the air. AL Central looks to be going the Twins way. That's an easy pick. Come on. AL East, some contentiousness here. We have three different teams being picked, so that qualifies as something, same as AL Central. But in the AL East, come on, isn't it going to be the Orioles? Wait, what's going on? They're the hot team. They're a sexy team. AL West, hate to say it. Astros, are you kidding me? We don't want that anymore. And we got some wild cards to talk about as well. But let's focus, I guess, on AL Central. That's what we care most about, even though we're going to be looking up at four other teams all season long. What's the take on the AL Central? Defend your pick, and so on. I know this isn't the sexiest thing because it's AL Central. I guess it's getting a little bit better. But thoughts on what the AL Central race will be? Will it be even close?
Close is a idea, I guess.
I think the Twins are going to, like, they're not going to quite run away with it because I think the Tigers have definitely improved. So it's going to be a 2, maybe 3-headed race with the Guardians because the Guardians still have Jose Ramirez, who's pretty good at baseball, and they still have the pitching factory.
That's some good pitching.
Forever with them, ever since they was called by slurs instead of, you know, an actual thing that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I still think it's Twins because Byron Buxton seems to be actually healthy. We'll see how long that lasts.
You just cursed him. It's over.
Yeah, it is what it is. I might like him as a player, but he is an enemy.
Yeah.
And Carlos Correa, as much as people dislike him, still pretty good at baseball. They have one of, if not the best closer in baseball. They have a pretty good rotation. They're all around a solid team that has made moves to improve. So have the Tigers, but I got to see it before I believe it with them.
All right, other thoughts on this just stupid division?
I mean, I went with the Guardians because that team is still fairly stacked. I mean, they've still got good old Justin Bieber. and then, I mean, Stephen Kwan has been excellent. Tristan McKenzie, when healthy, is really good. And I think he might finally have that year. and then Jose Ramirez. Like, I think they will just – I don't think they'll run away with it either, but I think they're going to have a pretty decent year, unfortunately.
Their pitching is relentless. It irritates the hell out of me, but it's just relentless. And, you know, maybe they had like a year or two off of that where it's just like – you flip a coin and the guy throws a great start. I think we're back to that. And this year you might see that. Whether they can hit, I guess, is the question. But it probably does seem like it's shading towards a close race. Other thoughts on the Central, as crappy as it is? Close is still fun. I believe Ashley Sanders, doing the math, based on where she's picking the White Sox and how far, I think she's actually forecasting an 88-win division title, which sounds crazy, but not for this division. So, and that's not just because the teams are horrible. It's that it's sort of going to be a bloodbath, I think, this year in the Central. Other thoughts on how our division is going to shake out?
Yeah, I think I chose the Twins as well, but I do think the Guardians are going to guardian. They're always going to be there. They're always going to have a little bit of magic. I don't think it's enough. I like this year specifically, I don't know. I think the Tigers are going to shock a lot of people, but I don't think they're there yet. But you never know with this division. If they were to surprise people, it would be in this division. So I think that the Twins have just been the most predictable, easy, solid pick to have, but you really never know with this division. All I know is it's not going to be the White Sox. So,
is it a consensus? I don't think this came up, although some people did pick the White Sox for AL worst, which would, you know, I think the math works out that means they'd be in last place. Anybody think the White Sox are not going to be in last place this year?
Not a lot.
This is so sad.
Even the Royals have tried more than the White Sox. Also, for record, the Twins won the division last season with 87 wins.
Oh well, yeah. See, look, I'm laughing, but you know, Ashley's actually seen a better division. Oh man, what a crappy division! But the teams are better. I mean, really, everybody's gotten better on paper, but one team. I don't know which one is it. Let's jump right to rather than go to the NL. Let's jump right to who we think, you know, the best and worst. Again, I don't think there's a lot of fighting here. There's some pretty straightforward picks, I guess you'd say, because if you're not picking some of these teams for divisions, you're getting them in the wild card. I mean, it seems like there's a block of maybe 8 teams that, you know, have a pretty solid chance, maybe 8-9. So it's not too wide open. Anybody want to talk about, let's say, best team in the AL and give me a rationalization for why they're going to be the best team? Not necessarily the World Series team, but the best record in the AL.
I think the best record in the AL is going to be the Orioles. I just think they're just solid from top to bottom. I mean, they didn't improve their pitching a ton. They should have gotten Dylan Cease, but they missed out on that one. I just think that their starting nine is just so solid, and like what they, I think what they showed last year was only the beginning of them showing what they can do. And so I think that they're going to far outshine anybody else in the AL this year, including the Rays.
Yeah.
Talking about the Rays for so many years, it's fun to actually talk about somebody else. So.
And on that point, Melissa, Crystal, I feel so guilty because every year I'm hyping the Rays. I think Hamster does it too. And we're not the only two. And this year, I don't even know why, maybe just because of the Orioles, I've abandoned them. I feel guilty. You've kept the faith. I love that about you. Tell me why the Rays are not only going to win that division, tough division, but they're going to be the best in the AL.
I don't even know what my rationale was, okay. Other than like just keeping the faith, because they don't even, the team isn't even as great anymore, but they, I feel like they always just come up from behind and shock you every single season. And again, like I probably would have picked the Orioles, and I agree with what Melissa said that last year was just kind of their first showing of how good they are. But, and I mean, I'm probably going to eat my words in a few months, but I don't think they're going to go that far this year. I mean, they'll still be in the playoffs. I don't know. I think the Rays are just going to sneak up behind everybody again.
If you had to pick, like, okay, who's going to be good, not even look at the numbers, the Rays would be your pick. I mean, that's a no-brainer every year. Whatever, 90-plus wins. I mean, off year for them is like 87. Boy, we dream of that here in our big city. All right, yeah, I had to acknowledge that because, like, wow, Rays just stood. I mean, you're there alone, and I love that. Again, you could get burned by that. Everybody really is thinking the Orioles are going to take that step forward. There's a lot of room for them to not, because it's not like they were bad last year. I mean, you know, they sort of choked, whatever. They did not advance in the playoffs. And this would be the year you think they're regathering, you know, maybe at least get to an ALCS. But, you know, we'll see. This is not an easy league. It's not an easy division at all. Other rationalizations for the best. The O's are the consensus, but you know, not in a landslide. So, other thoughts on how it's going to shake out in the AL?
I also chose the Orioles as the best record, but I also think the Rangers. Obviously, like I feel like a lot of people forget that they won the World Series, and. They are stacked. They have been stacked. And I think that that's only the beginning for them. I think that Corey Seager has the potential to be, you know, that MVP type player. And I know that their pitching is, you know, isn't the best, but it was good enough to win a World Series. So like, you can't really count them out of anything. And even looking at the predictions for the AL West, there's still a lot of people that believe that the Astros are going to take it over them, and it's like, how much more can they really prove? You know, you can't prove more than winning a World Series, but this will be an important year to see if that was just per se like a fluke year, or if that was the start of something that can be long term, that can be really good for those fans, and just, you know,
absolutely valid in a baseball sense. Speaking of someone speaking from Florida right now, I really don't mind right now if we're just going to overlook Texas for a while. Let's sort of forget Texas. If they show up in the World Series, they, oh, yeah, that's right. The Rangers are a team. But the whole Texas thing, I sort of don't mind overlooking them. Dante, have you weighed in here? Thoughts? Or are you just going to hurl?
So, like, as has been said before, the Astros still exist. I did pick the best team for the AL to be the Orioles just because I believe in the Orioles more. I believe in the youth they have and the fact that they just can dig prospects up out of thin air. And plus, they went and got Corbin Burns. Like, that helps a lot. Yeah. It's always good to get a legitimate guy, along with the fact that they also have, you know, Grayson Rodriguez, and I can't think of his name right now. I can't think of the main person that was good for them last year, Kyle Bradish. Like, they have a lot of good pieces in that rotation. They have a good bullpen, and they have bats. Like, remember a few years ago when Cedric Mullins was the best batter on that team? Now he's just a really good bat that happens to be on the team. So that's how I feel about them. But also, the Astros are sneaky. And hey, if the Astros winning means that Jose Abreu gets a championship, I'm good. And the Rangers, again, the Rangers are the defending undisputed champs. So, you know, it's always something to think about.
Yeah. Well, I'll proudly admit how dumb I am when it comes to these picks, maybe dumb in general. Orioles had a great spring. And I know that doesn't mean anything, but they had a really great spring. And I mean, you know, I know, like, by the Chicago standard, it's like the last five games really count. You know, obviously some game in February doesn't count, but you go like 23-6 or whatever it is. All right, I'm going to notice. I know it doesn't mean anything, but you know, winning, it's like saying, well, the minor league records don't matter. Well, I'd still rather win than lose. So that, you know, in a really difficult choice for best AL team, even division winner in the AL East, that sort of pushed me in the Orioles' direction. It's like, man, all right, they're standing up. They've had some injuries. They're holding up okay. So it's enough to get my vote. And when I'm wrong, we won't have a postseason predictions podcast.
I'm curious too to see how the new ownership with the Orioles is gonna, you know, when it comes to like the deadline, the trade deadline, and you know, if they still need to add on some pitching. I don't know. I'm holding out hope that the new ownership group is really gonna see that they have the potential to go far, but you need to, you know, don't make the White Sox mistake and don't, you know, put all the pieces that you need together. Don't go out on the cheap and think all of your prospects are going to do it for you. So,
yeah, I had a banner. I was going to pop it up that we need more venture capitalists in baseball, but I deleted it or something. So I guess we don't get to talk about it this time. All right. Well, I'll rise up with the proletariat in a future podcast. Let's switch over to the NL before we take our break. We have to talk about the White Sox. And look, I even deftly avoided the discussion about whether the White Sox are going to be the worst team in the American League. I'm sure we'll get to it. NL. Wow. Speaking of spending money, there's a team called Dodgers that seem to sort of dominate even our picks. And let's face it, they are, you know, on the tip of everybody's tongue. Man, the last few days, maybe not for exactly all the best reasons, but still top to bottom talent. I think on paper, you can't really argue them being the best team in the National League, but best team rarely makes it to the World Series, wins the World Series, sometimes doesn't even win a division. Let's start and probably run quickly through this because there are a few picks of the team I don't want to see picked. Let's talk about the NL Central because it is sort of wide open. We have Reds, we have Brewers, or a Brewer. We have Cardinals, poor Pittsburgh. They're the only teams I can pick. And we have a few Northside picks. Anybody want to talk about the NL Central? And if you pick the Cubs and don't want to talk about it, that's perfectly okay.
I will skip talking about the team I picked because it's that team. But my question is, how do people pick the team that has Lance Lynn?
Well, that's a fair point. That's a fair point.
They have no pitching over there. And that's why I can't believe in them. And then the Reds and the Brewers are the Reds and Brewers. Like, the Reds I believe in more than I should because, again, youth movement. The Brewers I don't believe in because they refuse to sign players that mean anything.
So, young Melissa Sage Bohlenbach, I believe you have just been called out, please, to defend your pick of the St. Louis Cardinals as the NL Central Division Champions 2024.
Yeah, and my husband's like, I can't believe you're going to go up there.
Oh, good job. I didn't even think about that. Well done.
I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, I wasn't thinking about that when I picked the Cardinals. I picked the Cardinals because they're like the Guardians team, too, where they're always like, except for last year. But, yeah. I mean, they always seem to be in it somehow. They always seem to be competitive. And I wasn't going to vote for the Cubs. I don't care if they actually are the best team in the Central. I wasn't going to do it.
Yeah, you'll take the lumps, losing points on that one because you just can't do it. I hear you.
And the Brewers definitely got worse. They didn't get better. And so, I don't know. I just kind of went with the underdog Cardinals. And I do like Lance Lynn. Even though he sucked, I was like, well, you know, he's back where he started. That's kind of a sweet story. So, yeah, nothing like really analytical about it at all, other than the fact that, you know.
There's a lot of emotion with the NL Central, so I definitely understand. You're the hamster Milwaukee native, I think, just going with the home team there. Although, again, that division should be fairly wide open. Hannah, you and I, we threw down for the Reds. I'm not sure what we're thinking there. It seems sort of sexy. It seems like, well, what if? Who knows? But talk to me about what you're thinking Reds-wise.
So it was between the Cubs or the Reds for me. And I've never, ever choose the Cubs. So by default, I choose the Reds. But not only just by default, because I think last year was a really big year for them in their development and showing that they have what it takes to get better. They were really exciting. They were in that like young team between the Orioles and the Reds, and even the Pirates. I don't sleep on the Pirates, but I don't think that they will win the division, but I do think that they will be higher than people expect this year. But I just think that the Reds are fun, and they were good last year. They were in it until the very end. And I think that this year, I mean, it kind of seems like that division got weaker. So I think that it is more open for them to not run away with it. I think it'll be between them and the Cubs basically until the very end. But just don't sleep on them and you know, see what they can do this year. And if not, they're really close to becoming that really good team.
They seem like a fun team. So it would be hard to root against them. They seem like they've got guys on that team, you know, injuries, exciting young players. I mean, it would be nice to see them do well. And I don't say that just because I'd like to see the Cubs push down into the second division. NL East and NL West are virtually consensuses. Crystal, I believe you are probably picking the Dodgers because we have Diamondbacks on here, but then all Diamondbacks are also wild cards. So I don't know if that means Dodgers, but it's pretty much all Braves and all Dodgers. Is anything going to derail either one of these teams in their division quest? So Hamster went nuts and said Phillies. Probably just, I don't know, she hates the Braves, but.
I'm not super confident about okay. the Dodgers this year.
Okay.
Because they have all the money in the world, but look at what the Mets do every single year.
I know that hurts to say.
Yeah. We're to say that, but it's the truth. And also, yeah, you might have a bunch of superstars, but you've got Clayton Kershaw kind of on the last leg of his career. And you've got all of this Ohtani drama. We don't know where that's going to end up.
Yeah, true.
And you've also got to make sure all these players can just gel. And we don't know. There's a lot of big egos on that team right now. Yeah. So I don't trust that the Dodgers are going to be what everyone seems to think they will be this year.
Yeah, that makes sense. And sometimes you got to cut against the grain. That can end up getting you the big wins going.
I also just approach this with chaos only.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, let's face it. You roll the dice that way, and I mean, you know, not many years just go according to plan. Even though we do have some pretty decent consensus in a fair amount of our picks, that just probably proves we're all going to be really wrong, like we were when we all decided to pick White Sox as a playoff team, which again was like a no-brainer. I mean, come on, there's a reason why Fresh Prince was standing in an empty room looking around. I mean, it was a really dumb thing to do, but it's not like deep down we didn't think, well, sort of team to beat. You just keep that to yourself, especially if you're a White Sox fan. You know better. All right, well, we will discuss playoffs and stuff, whatever. We'll do that in the second half of our podcast program. Hang with us. Totally legitimate products being sold to you on the Fans First Sports Network. I don't even know, you know, because normally I don't always listen to the commercials. Man, I listened to some recently. Sort of like, you know, I just thought I was like gambling this and, you know, I don't know, slap chop that. No, these are like legitimate. So please pay attention. It's only like a couple minutes. We'll be back. We're not going anywhere. Dante might run. He'll come right back. We're going to be around. Crystal might fall asleep. Poor girl's been working really hard. But we do promise to be back. We're talking White Sox in the second half, and I guess maybe how everything's going to wrangle out. Special bonus surprise question for everyone. It's not really anything too surprising or exciting, but it is still something we'll wrap up with. We'll do that beginning in 1 minute. Hang with us. White Sox fans, I am your host here on this predictions podcast. I also happen to be the returning champion. How many times can I squeeze that into this podcast? Well, I'm guessing once or twice more. My name is Brett Valentini. I'm with four of my best friends in the entire world: Hannah LaMotta, Dante Jones, Crystal O'Keefe, and Melissa Sage Bolabach. We are discussing our predictions for the 2024 season. Accompanying this podcast is a story that we'll be addressing, all sorts of things. Basically, a lot of what we're talking about right now. So if you're just not into reading, geez, I hope you are, because we'd like you to read our stuff. It's some really good stuff. But if you're not, well, okay, you're listening to the story. If you are annoyed by my voice and I talk too much, yeah, that's what everybody says. Well, then, okay, read the story. come back to the podcast. There'll be some jokes. Other people talk too. And we'll get to them right now. We are moving down to, best, worst, pennant. Maybe we'll circle back to that. Let's talk about the White Sox. That's what this is all about. We'll also have awards as well. Oh, geez. What should we do next? Let's talk about the White Sox, and then maybe we'll talk about awards and stuff too. There's a fair amount of consensus, although I love the fact that the consensus for AL Rookie of the Year is not even starting the year in the major leagues, which, of course, doesn't mean he won't be the Rookie of the Year, Jackson Holliday. That's interesting. I mean, I picked him, so I mean, I'm going out on a limb. Let's get right to the White Sox, because Lord knows there are going to be a lot of surprises with the White Sox this year. And this is a White Sox podcast, right? I think it's a White Sox podcast. Okay, we have a low of 111 losses. Ryan's, he's maybe gone overboard. Maybe not. I think I'm second lowest at 108. We have four of our, I believe right now, 15 or so selectors picking a sub-16-win season. And nobody is higher than Adrian Serrano's 67-95. We'll talk more about the record sort of toward the end of this podcast, but let's jump into your choices for player MVP. Luis Robert is a consensus. Any chance he is not going to be the guy? There are some other selections. Moncada's on our list. Eloy comes up once, twice, three times. There's just not many stars on this team. Yoan playing for his next contract, because the White Sox are probably not bringing him back. It's Luis's to lose. Will he lose player MVP?
I mean, if Andrew Benintendi hits 6 home runs this season, he might be in contention.
I mean, come on. And with that gold glove average defense, he plays out in left field, the easiest position on the diamond. I mean, come on. That rounds him off, Crystal. He's smart. So he was a close second for you.
He's just so great all the time.
And we only have, what, 4 more years to watch
it? Just four. Until he gets
extended. Until he gets extended to make the biggest contract even bigger. Yes. Dante.
I was saying, highest paid White Sox ever, Andrew Benintendi. I picked Luis Robert because, honestly, there's no other reason to watch this team. It feels like half the season. And I say this as somebody that appreciates and loves Eloy Jimenez, but, like, if you're only playing 60 games a year, I can't really do that. Mm-hmm. And, unfortunately, he's been injury-prone, so it's, like, 60 a year if you're lucky.
Again, young Melissa Sage-Bohlenbach, you have been called out by Dante Jones. Your choice for Eloy Jimenez as player MVP, please to defend.
I think at some point he's going to play a full season. and because this one doesn't matter.
He will play this one.
That's what I honestly feel. It's like that. Whose line is it anyway? You
know, we finally get the 40 home run Eloy season.
Yeah, like,
and also Luis Robert is like 35 with four, like 35 and 35, and it just doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly why I did it. I was like, because if there's like no pressure, and so he just kind of gets to be all fun Eloy, and he had a great spring, so it kind of leads me to that mentality. So, yep, I put it on Eloy because it just doesn't matter.
And we're talking about Eloy like he's so fragile. Okay, he is, but Luis Robert doesn't play 160 games a season. So, I mean, I would think part of the rationale that most of you may have also said, well, what are the chances that Luis plays the full season? Last year he played, like 140. I mean, he played a ton of games for him. Still wasn't even a full season, and that was an outlier. All right, let's go around quick speed round then here. I mean, Melissa, you can sit out because you got no faith in Luis Robert, but will Luis be better this year than last year? Hannah, what do you think?
I think, being realistic, no.
Okay.
I think he was really good last year, and that was the only good part. But hopefully he proves us wrong with that.
Yeah, still your MVP, but just not as good as he was last year, which was, you know, basically 5 war season. Dante, better or worse this year for Luis?
I'm going to be boring and say about the same.
Okay, that's fair. You can punt, that's fair.
I think it's going to be about the same. Maybe I lean towards slightly better because a little bit older, hopefully fully healthy coming into a season. You know, also for my fantasy baseball team, and while it's not for him, I would like for him and the other guy I picked, Eloy Jimenez, to both be good.
Oh, well, yeah, that would be wonderful. Here's another reason he might be better, Dante. He knows now, because the manager called him, he knows now to hustle to first base every time out.
Brett, if I have to write another one of those articles before the end of June, I'm just going to find a way to do bad illegal things to Mr.
Sure.
Ball.
Sure. I knew I was squirting.
Jerry, but we ain't got to step by right now.
I knew I was squirting gasoline directly onto the fire there, Dante. Crystal, will Luis be better or worse than he was in 2023?
I'm going to go better just because that's the only way he can go. And when you look at the rest of the team, he's going to look phenomenal no matter what he does.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if the question can be adjusted to how much better will he be than the rest of the team, that's a no-brainer. He'll be better because the rest of this team is just, you know, is sinking. Sorry, Andrew Vaughn. Okay, Melissa, you can answer if you want, even though you don't have any faith in Luis. Is Eloy really going to surpass him, or is he going to take a little step back?
Yeah, I actually think Eloy has the chance to be the star on the team this year. I did not pick Luis for my fantasy first year of fantasy. I let my son take him. I was just like, you know what? 2 years in a row for any White Sox player to be good, that is way too much to ask.
Yeah. No, that's very fair. Okay, let's switch over to pitcher MVP, because this discussion will take 3.5 hours, or it might take a minute, because can there possibly be a pitcher MVP? There's not going to be a pitcher MVP, right? Especially until Dylan Cease is gone. Pitcher MVP is going to be what? Maybe a 3-WAR guy? You know, not to break it down that way. Maybe. It might not even be that. So a lot of different picks here. Soroka, Malachi is picking Drew Thorpe. I wish he was here to explain that to us. Garrett Crochet, our ace. Nastrini, who do we know for sure if he even is breaking camp with the rotation? Anyway, I mean, a bubble guy, although, certainly on the rise. Jordan Leisure, Eric Fetty. See, here's the fun part about the Chicago White Sox pitching staff. I don't even know how to pronounce all their names correctly yet, and I probably won't over the course of the year. So get used to these mispronunciations, or I actually will sit back and listen to what everybody else says, and then I'll just copy them. Anybody want to defend their pitcher MVP pick? I'm sure we have at least several different names here from the five of us, so please, please explain.
If it's not Garrett Crochet, then this team is even worse than I think it's going to be. Because, I mean, if that's the guy you're expecting to be the day one ace, or not even ace, like, we can't, let's not BS. They don't think he's going to be an ace. He's just the guy that's going to be up there, and he's probably going to throw 150 innings at most, which, if I remember correctly, would be much more than he's ever thrown in his career. And it's like, honestly, it might be three of his seasons or two of his big league seasons combined.
Franchise longevity. Was that your rationale, Hannah, in picking Crochet? Just, hey, he's the guy who's been around the longest, so, you know,
that's he'll be the best. Why I picked him. It was between him and Kopech, and I'm like, I don't want to pick Mikey Kopech. He's not the best person.
Honestly, for me, it was more so like looking ahead at his stuff and his potential what we have seen of him, even if it was before injury, and also look what we're working with. There's not much.
Yeah.
So I would say I chose him just because I don't know if him as a starter, how long that's going to last, how long that's going to go. But I will say that his stuff is very good and has been very good. Unfortunately, he's had a lot of injuries. So to see him and see how long he can go being not only a starter, but also like not getting injured. So that's going to be hard. But I also think we shouldn't sleep on Eric Fetty. I think that's how I say his name. But because you're not the KBO like long for no reason, you know. But I think that was one of our big signings this offseason. So we should, you know, take a look at what he's got.
He could be the guy who just gets the 30 starts, so he is going to be the MVP just because he pitches the most. Right. It really could come down to that. Melissa, bold choice here. Rookie relief pitcher, and this has got to have somewhat to do with the fact that this rotation is god-awful, but there is a lot to be excited about Jordan Ledger. He would have a historically great relief season if he actually was our true MVP, but thoughts on what you're seeing from him, because he's really taken the spring by storm.
Yeah, I did. I watched a lot of spring training games, and I listened to several interviews with him, and he just seems, I don't know, I just really liked the way he looked out of the pen. I liked his mentality and how he approaches the game. And I think he has a real shot. Like, I mean, he knows, like, he's a pen guy. And, like, he knows he has the ability to be a closer. So there's no, like, starter dreams or any of that kind of stuff anymore. Like, he's locked into his role. He understands it. He's bought into it. And I just think that with the quality of his stuff and that mentality, that he has the ability to be a top end closer. And I think that could be really exciting. And I mean, God, last year I picked Michael Kopech, so it certainly can't be any worse.
You're going to do better. You are going to do better this year. You are. I guarantee it, Melissa, you're going to do better. Crystal, I love you punting this category. I'm going to tell you now, if there's not, like, I don't know what the numbers should be. Maybe it's one WAR. If there's, like, not even one guy who clears it, you are going to win. Even though you're not picking anybody, you are going to win this category, because basically I think that's what you're saying. There's nobody who's any good, so how can I pick an MVP? Is that really what you are thinking?
Yeah, that yes. I have no faith at all in any of the – I mean, Garrett Crochet, I do have faith in him, but – we'll see. Yeah. I mean, Hannah pointed out, we don't know what he's going to be like post-injury. And while he's looked fine in spring training, I still, for that to be our opening day starter, for him to get that, is just really embarrassing. So I have no faith.
I picked Soroka. I think it's a default pick. But he seems to be in a groove. If he's healthy, he probably does. I mean, Garrett Crochet, who you know is going to be limited. I think maybe Hannah said 150. Somebody said 150 innings, which is, that's probably, I don't know if they could come close to letting him do that. But, you know, even at 120, his stuff may be only so good. Yeah, I think somebody like Soroka, or maybe even Fetty, Eric, I'll call him Eric. Is there another way to pronounce that? You know, he's another guy just grind it out, you know, 28, 32 starts, you know, might sort of end up winning. Let's jump to worst player, because this might have been the toughest one for me to pick. I mean, this is going to be a fight. There is a good, 20 White Sox players that could probably be filled in here. Consensus, there's some momentum building for Martin Maldonado. Also, his catching partner Max Stassi is on there too. So we went from Grandal and McCann is like the best catching tandem, you know, just a handful of years ago to now. Ooh, man. There's a lot of picks here. Thoughts on who the worst player is going to be. I know maybe some of you picked out of a hat, because there is like 20 names in that hat. Thoughts on worst player, because it's going to be an excruciating battle this year.
Maldonado looked terrible in spring training. Like, his offense was terrible and his defense was terrible. I think he made, like, I watched one game where I was like, what is he doing behind the plate? So I think that, you know, great leadership and the pitchers like to throw to him. Well, that's great. But I mean, he's going to be awful and it's going to be brutal to watch. And it's going to have some people pining for Yasmani Grandal, which is going to be pretty pathetic.
Yeah,
I agree. One thing that came to mind when I picked him as well was, I remember watching that ALDS against the Astros, and it was always, oh, Maldonado's up, easy out, when we were playing against him. And now, knowing that everybody knew that he was that bad, he was the easy out in that Astros lineup, it makes it very clear that he's still going to be like that. But being like that on a worse team, by far worse team, is not, you're not going to get away with that. You can't. And I, when we signed him, the first thought I had was like, oh my gosh, another one of these players. Like, I don't want to see him strike out and just have a zero batting average. And just also with terrible defense, it's like, what's the point? So I'm not trying to be a hater, but being realistic, if he was that bad, he's going to be just as bad or worse.
Yeah. It seems like the arm is there. It seems like all the White Sox catchers actually were – I mean, I'm probably going to be betrayed by the actual stats, but it seemed like whenever I was looking closely at box scores, there were a fair amount of caught stealings by the White Sox. So, you know, yeah, for whatever. I mean, there's the possibility Maldonado was so bad. Stassi maybe hurt, maybe stashed for a long time on the IL. Who knows? I mean, they're basically getting him for free from Atlanta, right, because they're just – Atlanta's so good, they're just giving players away free now. Paying them to go away. And Corey Lee maybe does come up, providing he's not just a Cactus League MVP and is a guy who just seizes that starting role. Maybe we don't have to suffer, and Maldonado or Stassi won't win because they just won't get enough playing time. Man, that is – I'm not applying White Sox thinking to that very rational and hopeful take. Pilar, Dante, what's going on with Kevin Pilar?
So, one, the only reason I didn't pick Martin Maldonado is because I don't think he's going to last long enough for it to matter. I think Corey Lee, by the end of May, by my birthday, which is May 25th, Corey Lee will be up. And, like, the everyday starter, I think. I just don't think Molly's going to get enough at-bats. And Kevin Pillow, I probably won't get enough at-bats, but I was just like, why is this guy here? Mm-hmm. And I was just like, if I'm going to pick any random dude that I think is going to get DFA'd, I'll pick the one that I know literally nothing about because I don't watch spring training.
Like, fair enough.
Maldi is going to be a, like as Hannah said, Maldi's going to be an instant out, strikeout, 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 you know. Max, Stassi, whatever. And both of them fall under my, I could not care less what catcher does at bat as long as they're not absolute dog crap. So, the bar is in literal hell for them. Mm-hmm.
Pilar, I think he's the early leader in player treated worse by the White Sox so far this year. I mean,
he's number one.
You know, granted, you know, Pedro's going to call out like Luis again, and you know, so I don't think he's not going to coast to a win there. But I think the early returns are, Pilar is the guy who's been most abused by the White Sox so far. So that that's something. Yeah.
I will say, like I said, if that happens, if I got to do an article, I'm just going to ask for this man to step down. Like, hey, Chris, I don't like you either, but go get your manager or whatever, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's all yours. I mean, it's penciled in because it's going to happen. You know you're going to write that article this year, Dante. You may write it more than once, so I mean, you know that's happening.
It'll still give me less hate than some other articles I've written about this team.
Hey, speaking of, and trust me, once we're winding up after this little mini discussion, anything we may miss that you do want to address, I mean, I'll throw it to the field and we'll talk and you can take over this podcast and I'll never come back again and there will be much rejoicing. But let's talk about this because we're sort of bumped into it, and that is – one of our tiebreaker bonus questions. This is a new category. I don't know what I'm doing. This isn't long enough, so let's do tiebreaker bonus because there are ties or something. I don't know. But one of the questions is, will Pedro be fired by the end of the World Series, which I guess is technically, that's the end of the season, right? No more games. Okay, Brett. Bright. Good host. Okay, it does seem like fairly, maybe is it shading yes? I don't know. But it's basically 50-50 yes or no. And I can tell most of the no's, I would just guess, are saying, well, it's the White Sox. They're not going to fire the guy. It's not that he doesn't deserve to be fired. But thoughts on how long Pedro will last? Will he last? Should he last? Let's talk about Pedro Grifol because we don't get to spend enough time talking about the manager who doesn't deserve to be manager of the White Sox. Thoughts on Pedro and whether he'll survive the season?
Actually, first, I want to know why you don't feel as though he deserves to be manager of this cesspool team. Can you please explain that?
I mean, you can fight back there. I mean, that's fair. I mean, if you really look at it, Crystal, like, do these entities deserve one another? Oh, yeah, he should coach for life. He should always be Chris Getz's GM. Because they tied us into knots over this. We have to talk about it. They're not listening to us. They don't care. So, yeah, I guess maybe that marriage should last forever. So I could see why a no vote. No, because you deserve each other. I mean, I'm putting words in your mouth, but that would be one rationale I could see.
As a former White Sox legend once said, he gone. Because, yeah, I think unless the White Sox do something miraculous and don't end up in last place in the division, along with, you know, more things than that, I don't think Pedro's lasting after the World Series. And if the White Sox are smart, they'll fire him the Monday or Tuesday after the season ends. At the
tough clause in there, though, if the White Sox are smart, Dante. So I think you just disqualified your answer.
I mean, yeah, that's the whole thing. They're not smart. But also, as somebody that's seen this happen with in other sports and stuff, usually when there's a new GM with a same coach, they're going to fire that coach because they don't want them. They want their guy in there.
Again, new GM, going to have to push back there. But, yeah, I hear you. I get the logic. It's just the White Sox.
He can make a good point. He's as new of a GM as I am a White Sox fan at this
point. Pretty much. Pretty much. He stretches back to those World Series Royals, and aren't we reminded of that every single day? Okay, more thoughts on – I mean, I know this is depressing, but more thoughts on Pedro.
I think realistically what I would want to happen is if the team somehow gets a whopping 70, 75 wins, I think that they'll – make him stay and say, oh, but we had to
make him stay.
We improved so much. Therefore, he's got to keep going.
You can't leave.
Unfortunately, that's all it would take was like 75 wins for them to be like, which is really sad, by the way, in the year 2021, would you think we'd be saying this about 2024 season? No, but we've got here. And I think that the smart thing to do would be if it's another year like last year, if there's genuinely no improvements, get him out of there. I don't think that that's going to happen. I would like it to happen, but yeah, I think it would take a whopping 70, 75 wins for them to like solidify keeping him, because they're probably gonna do it anyway, but at least if there's like a general improvement in the win column, they can be like, oh, but look how much we got better by this many games. So yeah, realistically, I think that's what's gonna happen.
Melissa, I do not want to deny you the right to weigh in on Pedro Grifol. Do you have further thoughts on our manager?
I do. Like he has to be fired because it's going to be back-to-back 100 loss seasons. Like I like Hannah's optimism. If they would win 77-5 games,
yeah,
that's just not going to happen. Like this team is just terrible. We have no pitching. We have no hitting. And so it's going to be awful. They're going to lose at least 100 games, if not more. And how can you keep a manager around 2 years in a row when it's going to go south quickly? April is going to be bad. We're going to be lucky to win like 6 games in the month, and I think he has a good chance of being gone even before the All-Star break.
So. Wow. Hey, you know, listen, Hannah's feeling the fever. Only 97 losses from the LaMonta camp here, so I mean, she's got a little optimism here.
I'm not saying that I'm not optimistic at all that they would win this, but I'm saying if in any way, like I am fully aboard with the almost 100 losses, but I am saying that's a scenario that they would like to have to keep him.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what matters.
I love the clarity. I love it. Also, I have a question for everybody. Which is going to, because Melissa made me think about it, which is going to be worse, the hitting or the pitching? Because I personally think it's going to be pitching by Mal. It's going to be, the pitching is going to be so bad.
Yeah, I think pitching, just because at least you have players to look forward to in the offense. If you count Yoan Moncada, Eloy Jimenez, and Luis Robert Jr., but pitching, you really don't have anyone to look forward to. So.
Every once in a while, not Gavin Sheets, because it might as well be the same person. Andrew Vaughn will make me a little happy sometimes, so that works. And Andrew Benintendi, he'll slap a single or a double through the opposite field one.
Dante, does he make you happy as a – well, I mean, actually, you could be 6'5". I don't know. And he makes me happy as an average guy when the ball always goes over his head. I think, well, I could do that too. So that makes me – that's how he makes me happy.
Same. I'm short. He is the baseball – he's the first base short king. He's first base. See, here's the thing. I didn't know that Andrew Vaughn was a short king until he came to a major. Why is this 5-foot dude playing first?
Yeah, he's in position now, though, Dante. He's in position. Okay, hey, that was a good question, though. I'm voting offense. I mean, the both are going to be horrible. I'm voting offense. I think the offense is going to be worse than the pitching. Melissa, I don't know who else we haven't heard from, but Melissa, I know we haven't heard from you.
Yeah, spring training, man. The offense was just brutal. I mean, it was just brutal. I do not even see them being able to slap together consistently like two runs a game. I mean, it's going to be pretty anemic. So the pitching, just watching spring training, has me a little more hopeful. Like, I think there are some potential bright spots, and we've talked about some of them today. So I feel that there's some more potential there, but the offense is, in order to be good, everybody would have to be good, and that's just not going to happen.
Okay, who breaks the tie? Crystal or Hannah? I don't know who else is voted. Somebody's breaking the tie here. We got two offense, two pitching.
Did I miss this one?
I don't know. Well, maybe we can just say they're both going to be. I think we all agree they're both going to be terrible. So, you know, what a sucker.
I still think it's going to be the offense.
All right. Well, offense takes the crown. Offense, our focus is on you. You're going to be worse than the pitching on one of the worst teams in all of baseball. I had something I was going to throw. Oh, yeah, here. Okay. Before one speed round I planned, here's a spontaneous speed round, and that is, we were talking about Pedro getting fired and how he should be fired in April or he'll never be fired, and he doesn't deserve to be fired. He and Getz should be married for life based on what they've done to us. Okay, let's say, 100 losses, you know, Hannah aside, and a few other folks predicting just shy. Nobody's being real optimistic here, but, you know, just shy of 100. But, I mean, let's face it. We're looking at 100. We're looking at maybe at best, a duplication of last year. Let's say it's worse. Let's say, like many of us think, it's actually going to be worse. We're going to get into the hundreds of losses. We're going to get into perhaps territory of worst White Sox team ever. If we have just, and we're talking about like 5-6 more losses, right? We actually take what you could say is a step back this year, which is entirely plausible. What are the odds, or will Chris Getz go? Will he be gone? Again, quick move, just like with Pedro, right? But he's been around longer than he's been the GM. So, okay, speed round starting with Dante. Does Getz go if it's as ugly as some of us think it could be?
Absolutely not. that man is going to be the GM for at least this and next season.
Oh, I forgot. He's got the high baseball IQ. Oh, all right. This is a stupid question then. Dante.
He has about the same baseball IQ as all of us individually. Not all of us combined, because I think we're all pretty smart people. But as much as the lowest IQ person, me, has combined, like total. So, that being said, the White Sox are a team that doesn't like to make changes quickly, even though they should make changes much quicker, considering the history of the team in the last 20 or so years. But, no, he's staying, because they have, like, Jerry and them have to try to prove that they were right.
He's a grinder. Crystal, if it is a catastrophe, and a catastrophe doesn't mean 120 losses, it means, like, 105 losses. If it's catastrophic, does Getz go, or any chance he does?
No, Rick stayed for 10 years. Why is Getz going to go?
I don't like these answers. Melissa, will you give me the answer I want to hear?
Nope, he's not going anywhere. Nope. I mean, Jerry already said, basically already gave him the rope, because he was like, oh, you know, we know it's going to take a few years. So, yeah.
But wait, he also said he was the guy who knew the team well enough to, like, turn it around faster, though. So, but, okay, yeah. Cover both sides, yeah. Hannah, any chance this happens?
As long as Jerry Reisdorf is the owner of Chicago White Sox, he is not going anywhere.
All right. Just like I picked Tadahito Oguchi for next year's. See, I'm getting so worked up. I've lost my ability to hear. I'm back. I'm saying yes. I don't know why. It's wishful thinking. I'm saying yes. Anyhow, okay, stupid speed round question. All right, this would be a time to open it up to anyone who thinks we missed something we should be sure to address. Speak now. We have one more little topic, but anything we missed that you want to make sure to talk about?
Yeah, I actually wanted to talk about the exciting new White Sox items. What do you guys think about the milkshake that's been It's been posted on the MLB account today.
When I say between messages and like tags, I have seen that 8 times just today.
Well, that's great. We're getting some, you know, publicity for something at least. I don't know.
I could discuss the new food items because I was there.
That's true. Coming soon for all of you listening and reading, Dante Jones' take on the food. He was there. Did you taste? Can you even tease that you tasted anything exciting, including this milkshake?
I forgot who it was. There was somebody I replied to on the, but somebody said, man, this would go really good with rum chata. I was like, that was the first thing I thought when I tried it, and it was already good. The milkshake was good. The Beyond, like the Impossible hot dogs, shockingly good compared to what I expected. So congrats to the vegans. I will never have one again, probably, but congrats to them. And then the Smash Burger was a smash. Everybody loved the Smash Burger. Everybody loved the milkshakes. Herb Lawrence, I think, had one or two of them. There was something. I will say, Herb did say they did not enjoy the Beyond Impossible dog.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I love
him. We know.
I love him. I disagree with him in this case, but yes. Hey, we got a dog, though. That's already going to be better than the White Sox will be.
Is that Fred? Who is that? Who is that?
Yep, that's Fred.
Fred, hey, Fred. What's happening? If Fred heard dog. And Fred, I bet, would eat an Impossible. He's not going to be picky.
The White Sox. A Fred is already better than Eric Freddy.
I did like the Facebook comment about, you know, why was Fred not considered?
Yeah, that's true.
For the White Sox doggy.
That's true. That's true. As seen on Sox Pop Podcast. Okay, well, next year, clearly, forget all this stupid picks. We're just going to pick, you know, favorite new or favorite ongoing concession, because that's what, you know, Hannah's playing to the audience. A very smart move there. Well done. And knock yourself out with a rum shot and a milkshake, because you're not going to want to watch, like, you know, six scenes of the game.
So my question is very simple, because, and Tommy asked this in the chat, we have a few people that picked multiple White Sox All-Stars. Now, looking at this list, none of them are here right now because none of them are here. Brian's not here.
Right.
He's not here, and Adrian's not here.
Yeah.
But I just wonder how you get to people. Like, I guess where Lloyd and Johan, if they like hit four people.
It's possible, but it's not likely.
The White Sox are going to be as bad as they are. And we know that bad teams, even if they have three great players, usually only get the one All-Star, because guess what? Nobody's watching to vote for set players.
It's more likely the White Sox will get one named and they'll be hurt and can't play than two guys are going to get in the game.
I mean,
let's be honest.
We've all, like, that's just deja vu.
Yeah. 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 Not like we haven't repeated that before.
Epic home run contest, though. We'll take it.
Okay. We're coming up on an hour. Let me get to one more thing, because I'm going to put everybody on the spot. And I know everyone here loves that. Okay. Let me look at win totals here. I'm starting with Melissa and or Fred. Okay. The pick is 60 wins and 102 losses. Yep. Were you being too nice or too mean in doing that? Do you think you were too hard? Do you think it's going to turn out you were too hard or too easy on the White Sox with that pick?
I think I was too easy. It's going to be worse.
Okay. Hannah, 65 and 97. Optimistic in this crew. Do you think you were being too kind, or it's going to turn out you were too mean in making that pick of 97 losses?
I think I was too kind, but I also think that it can't get worse than it has. So the only way that I can do that is increase, you know, by a few wins, and they're still going to be terrible. But how can it possibly get worse than last season? Like, genuinely, that's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where that comes from.
Hannah, the White Sox are listening. They have now taken your challenge. But all right, you know, you're right. In theory, that makes a ton of sense. Crystal O'Keefe, I have a feeling about a week into the season, whenever we meet next for a podcast that goes beyond, say, opening day, you're already going to have some, you're going to somehow inflate it to like, can I change it to 120? But I'm still going to ask you, at 61 and 101, do you think you were being too generous to the White Sox, or you think you were being a little too hard on them?
Actually, I think I was spot on.
Okay, don't answer. That's fine. Okay, so it's definitely going to be a 61-win season.
I think I was fair.
Okay, so one game worse than last year, because they have taken a step back.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a good, I like the, most of our discussion here, Crystal, has been you pushing back on my questions. And I got to say, I am loving it. Dante.
I'm a crystal ball.
All right. And listen, when it turns out, when you win that category and probably then win the whole thing, listen, if I'm not already bowing down, I'm bowing down. Dante. Similar to Melissa, look at this, the twins on the podcast. 60 wins, 102 losses. Were you being a little too hard because you've just had to live with this team for so long and you hate them? Or do you think you're actually being a little kind?
Well, I'll put it this. The last pod I did, I literally predicted what our friend Ryan predicted. And I've made some changes only because I've come back down to earth. I'm just like, you know what? They'll win 60. I think I'm on point, but I wouldn't be shocked if they lose or win a couple more than I predicted.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll admit, at 54-108, I've been predicting all offseason that they were going to break a record. Even when I had the losses total wrong, I was saying 106, like that was a big deal. Well, no, I would just tie it, dummy. So go back and change your answer. Change it to 107, now 108. I'll admit that I am being too hard on the White Sox. It doesn't mean they can't even win, lose more than that. But, I mean, come on, chances are, as the number two loss picker here, I mean, I'm realistic enough to say the defense does look better. The pitching does seem, I mean, it's terrible, but, I mean, adequate enough to maybe not lose 108 games. I like Crystal, and I think all of us, we're going to stick with our picks. But I was just curious to know whether, you know, there's like, man, we're just getting so used to, you know, picking on the White Sox, the, you know, eminently pick-on-able team. But, you know, or, you know, hey, if you could, and you can change all of your answers, even though they're committed to a podcast, you know, that maybe, you know, you'd say, okay, well, geez, maybe I should be nicer to these guys. I don't know. All right. Any other thoughts? I know we obviously did not cover close to everything. There's a ton of other stuff in the store. You can see everybody's picks. Sorry, they're all exposed. Whoever finishes last, whoever finishes first, they're all equal on opening day. And that's all out there in the story. But anything else we need to touch on from this season, the season that we are all pretty much, even though Hannah insists it can't get worse, we are all pretty much dreading. Anything we missed that we need to touch on? Oh, that's a bummer. That's a fair answer. A prediction I think we can all get behind, no doubt about it. So, Chicago White Sox baseball 2024, it's going to be miserable. Yes. Well, thank you, Crystal, for taking time out between 3 dozen podcasts this week. Dante Jones as well. Hannah LaMotta, one of the stars of Ladies Night and hopefully many other podcasts to come. Melissa Sage Bolenbach also. Ladies nighting it. We have upcoming. Oh, good Lord. You don't even want to know all the stuff we got upcoming. I'm just going to speak to the stuff that I'm doing because I don't even know. There's probably about 6 other podcasts being planned that I don't even know about. We have pregame podcasts, of course, opening day. Plenty of time leading up to, 3 o'clock game if it's not, you know, delayed by snow or whatever. Plenty of time to listen to that. Listen to it over. There's going to be tons of great information, I'm sure, as this podcast is made very plainly clear. A ton of great pregame information there. Post game, right after the game, hey, I'm writing the story. We're not messing around. I'm, you know, in case you guys, you know, like, don't know, like, I once was on a beat. So, you know what happens when the game's over? You've turned in your story. It's done. So it's going away, 15-4, whatever the game's going to be, lost. You know, that's done. I'm going to get right to the podcast. Post-bank podcast, you're going to want to relive all the pain, I'm sure. The snowflakes, the near home runs, the milkshakes that are frozen solid that weren't thawed properly by the White Sox. Whatever it is, we're going to talk about that on the post-game podcast. We've got four, I don't know what I'm doing. We've got four Sox on the Farm podcasts. We're talking all sorts of higher-ups at this point. Well, higher-ups, a couple are just announcers, but hopefully they're not listening so they won't hear that. We got Jonathan Nelson, who runs the Barons, for God's sake. He's going to be my partner on Birmingham podcast every month or once a month. We're talking to, you know, each team. We're going to get, you know, and then we've got Jonathan Lee, our guy in Charlotte. So we're going to talk about On a weekly basis, we're talking about one of the affiliates. Ladies' Night, Soxy Chicks, Visiting Dugout, probably three or four other podcasts. Have you invented more podcasts since we've last talked, Crystal, or does that pretty much cover what you've got going?
Not for this network. But.
Okay. Oh, yes, right. Of course, that's a given that on four or five other networks, you are podcasting aggressively. There's no doubt about that.
I will also be, well, by the time you hear this, I won't, but I will also be on the Tigers podcast tomorrow evening. It'll be live.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's well, then finish listening to this. Run over to, I mean, it's going to be painful. There's Spinetti. There's a better team. There's all those Tigers guys who hate the White Sox. I don't know what – I don't really care about – I mean, sorry. I don't mean to sound like a Cubs fan. I don't really care about the Tigers. I don't know where all their hate is, but
– because we don't care about them.
Hey, this is something – before we go – sorry, not to cut off all the promo for Crystal. All right. I did want to talk about this. We were talking about the AL Central. Do we have a rival? Who is our rival in the AL Central? I know we suck, so we don't like even get to pick a rival because we're just getting our teeth kicked in, but – Who is it? A carryover? Is there a? Are we projecting to a new rival? Is it going to be like the Royals or something? Who would you say is the AL Central rival? Crystal, keep talking. Who's our rival?
The Kansas City White Sox.
Okay, yeah, extra crying because we have to take all those goddamn Kansas City Royals on our team now. Okay, Dante, do you have a different answer?
The rival is the White Sox.
Okay, Dante goes off the board. Ed picks the White Sox, but yes, it truly is. We've seen the enemy, and he and they and she is us. Hannah, who is the AL Central rival to the White Sox?
The Royals, because it's going to be a battle of who's going to be the worst, okay. And also the Guardians, because the Guardians are always pests, and they're always there, and they're always annoying, no matter how bad they are, and because of what happened last year, which, you know, that's still the carryover, even if TA isn't here.
And Cleveland, we can all pretend, but we still remember your nickname. Not a big fan. Melissa, who?
Really, yes. Nobody. But if I have to pick somebody, I'm going to pick the Guardians just because they, like echo what Hannah said. It's just, and there's just been a lot of history there.
Melissa, I'll say one thing for you. Fuck the Guardians.
All right, so it's going to be a parental guidance podcast after all. Yeah, okay. I asked this question. I don't even know who it is. I think I am swayed by the Royal picks because not that I hate, I don't care about the Royals. I have plenty of reason to hate Kansas City. I don't even hate Kansas City, but they've infiltrated our team and they've made it considerably worse. So yes, for now, I'm going to say aside from it being us, because clearly the White Sox are their own biggest rival and enemy. I would say still the Royals. Okay, well, I just wanted to squeeze it in. Anyhow, with tons of podcasts coming up. When you're not tuning in other networks, you can hear Crystal on plenty of podcasts as well. Ladies Night being hosted by Melissa and also starring and featuring Hannah, Dante Jones, stalwart on our Mothership podcast, et cetera, whatever else. And of course we have a ridiculous number of weekly minor league podcasts. The Farm is back and active. It cut off like in June last year. It just went away. Poof. What's going on? We have no minor league system anymore. No, we still do. We just weren't podcasting about it. Well, I promise you, you know, until I just plain expire, which this season, it's about 50-50 odds. We will be doing weekly podcasts focused solely on one team each week because clearly that's what listeners want, or they don't. It's just what I decided to do. Anyhow, thank you for listening, reading. We got great coverage. I haven't even talked about what our coverage is going to be this year. I guess we'll do that on the pregame podcast. Okay. Make a note, Brett. Crystal, thanks. Dante, Hannah, love seeing you. Melissa, Fred, Freddie, and Crystal's got balloons. Yeah, it happened to me once too. It's very puzzling. Sometimes you just get balloons. It's awesome. So clearly those balloons are to encourage you to stay alive and stay awake and stay active for the rest of this week. You have to, Crystal. All right, before we all die and just expire, or before the White Sox kill us, we'll sign off. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back. Oh, gosh, geez, like in 2 minutes for a pregame podcast. Oh, pretty much keep your podcaster warmed up all year. Keep the kerosene full because you're going to be wanting to listen to Sox Populi, Southside Sox podcast all around. And when you finish those, go listen to some of Crystal's as well. Thanks, everybody.